أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. إن شاء الله you guys are doing well. Welcome to another one of our live sessions here with Mizan Live. Another one of the projects that's being done under Mizan Institute. You guys are familiar with what we have been doing throughout the previous days and nights, and so I'm not going to go over that again. And today, inshallah, we will be discussing the rulings of traveling and fasting. We know that when you have to travel and you have to fast, there are a number of rulings, a number of questions that come up. in this regard. And so inshallah we will be discussing the questions that come up in this regard. Sheikh Amin had been started discussing this topic, I think, 3 or 4 days ago, if I'm not mistaken. And so he covered some of the rulings that had to do with how traveling would affect someone's fasting. When can you fast? When can you not fast? But he went through basically, I'd say, just a couple, maybe like 5 or 6 of the introductory rulings, if you can call them that, of the introductory rulings that have to do with how fasting is going to, traveling is going to affect someone's fast and whether or not they're able to fast while they are traveling and things of that nature. So we will be continuing, inshallah, along those lines. I'm going to be mentioning this throughout the live stream, that today's session is going to be, not only today's, but inshallah the next session that I have, they will be challenging and they will be complicated. So I'm not going to sugarcoat it in any way, and I'm not going to make it sound simple and easy. No, these rulings that we're going to be going through, a little less today, but even more so next session, it's going to get a little complicated. They're going to get a little delicate, a little detailed. And so I'm going to need your utmost attention while going through them. So I'm just mentioning that from the very beginning, just so that we're all on the same page. There's multiple reasons for that. Number one is that just the rulings that have to do with this idea of traveling while fasting, or fasting while traveling, is just in by its essence, they are detailed. The second reason is that the ruling of our maraji with regards to some of these issues has actually changed, and some have changed actually very recently. So for those who are familiar with the rulings of our maraji in this regard, they might be a little bit surprised as we go through the rulings, because their rulings have actually changed a little bit just recently actually. So welcome again to another live session of Mizan. Feel free to ask your questions and leave your comments as we continue with the live sessions. Today in particular, there will be some instances where I will encourage you very seriously to leave your questions, because when it comes to this topic, a lot of times the questions that we will want to answer has to do with an individual, like it has to be discussed on a case-to-case basis, right? There will be situations where I would mention a ruling, but then I will ask you guys to send in your questions if you have particular questions for your particular situation. Because the rulings get so detailed sometimes, it's better if we don't go through all the details, rather you guys send in your questions if you have questions regarding this issue. You'll understand what I'm talking about as we move forward. If it's not clear to you right now, you'll understand exactly what I mean as we move forward. So that's another thing that I do want to mention. Let's see, there's a couple points that I also wanted to mention. In terms of how we want to continue. Oh, another thing that I do want to mention, this was a very good idea that was brought up to us, and inshallah it's being done, is that the videos that we have, the live sessions that we have from the previous days, we are adding indexes to them. I'm not sure if Sheikh Amin spoke of this as well yesterday or not. We are adding indexes to them. In other words, it's basically like a table of contents for the video, just so that you know what topic or what particular question is being answered at which particular time throughout the live stream. And this is really going to help, inshallah, in the future, because when people, if we want to refer someone back to a certain live stream, or we want to say, oh, we discussed this in the past, then that person can go through the index and find exactly where it is that they want to listen to the live session. I don't think Facebook Live has that option where, like YouTube, where you can just send a minute to someone and you click on it and it'll automatically take you to that minute of the video or the recording. So I don't think it has that option. But nonetheless, the minutes are there, so you can go and take a look. So for example, the session that we had, not in last session, the session before, we talked a lot about eating and drinking and that type of stuff that might break your fast. We've broken it down. So if someone has a question particularly about brushing their teeth, they just take a look at the index and they'll know exactly where they can go to find the answer to that question. Maybe someone that is not able to watch the whole thing, they might want to watch like, you know, 10 or 15 minutes of it, or particular questions that they have questions about, then they can go and watch those particular questions. So that's another point I wanted to mention. As I said already, please feel free to send in your questions. Anything that has to do with traveling and fasting, inshallah, we will be discussing all of that. So you don't have to hold back in any form or fashion. You can send in your questions. When you do send in your questions, please, 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 this is a very serious request. Please do make sure that you mention who you follow. If we don't know who you follow, then with regards to what we're going to be going through in these next two or three sessions, we will not be able to answer your question, because the rulings are very different with different maraji. Okay? And when we say different maraji, of course, we're referring to Ayatollah Khamenei and Ayatollah Sistani. So if you're going to send in a question and you say, hey, you know, like we're, you know, I'm traveling this often, what am I supposed to do? I need to know who you're following exactly to be able to provide a proper answer to your question. Let me just pull up the video here on this page so I can, inshallah, watch your comments as we continue, inshallah. Yes. Assalamu alaikum to everyone. Yes. Wa alaikum assalam. Inshallah, you guys are doing well. So let me start from here. I believe I covered everything. Oh, one last point. It would be a lot easier, trust me on this, it would make your life a lot easier, that if you have the possibility, if you have the option of grabbing a piece of paper and a pen right now and taking notes of what we will be mentioning in this session and the next session, trust me, that will make your life a lot easier in the future. The reason for that is because the rulings are very complicated and very detailed. And if you're able to take notes right now, then moving forward, even like, you know, in the future or next year, this is going to be able to help you. You know that with traveling and fasting, anything that is going to affect the way you are able to fast while traveling, it is also going to affect the way you pray, right? It's also going to affect whether you're going to pray Qasr, which is, you know, half the 2 rakat prayer, or you're going to be praying tamam, or in other words, full prayer, right? So because it affects us, this is one of those issues that affects the month of Ramadan, but it affects you outside of the month of Ramadan as well. And in fact, most of the questions that I have with regards to this topic come up a lot of times outside of the month of Ramadan, where someone is traveling for work, or they're traveling maybe once a month, or whatever the case may be. They're asking mostly about their namaz, right? Their prayer, and whether they are allowed to whether they have to pray full, or they have to pray a half, or qasr, as we say. So it will make your life a lot easier. Trust me on this. When we get to the end, you'll be like, you know what Sheikh Mahdi said was right. I probably should have done that at the very beginning. Especially for the guys who are always in the watching the live streams and they're always with us. Thank you very much for that. If you have that option, if you're not driving, I know some of you guys are driving, you're watching this during your commute back home. If you're doing that, then that's not what I'm endorsing in any form or fashion. But if you're not driving and you have that option, please make sure you do that. This will make your life a lot easier moving forward. You won't have to go around and keep asking these questions over and over and over again. If you know at least maybe like 7, 8, or 10 of the main principles that play a role with regards to this discussion, And then you can take those and you can apply those, throughout your life, really. Because like I said, this is not something that affects you only in the month of Ramadan. It will affect you anytime and every time. And these are issues we're discussing today in the next session that personally I had to look into, sometimes even from my own situation, where I travel for work, I travel to speak, for example, at this center, that center. It comes up, am I supposed to pray tamam here? Am I supposed to pray full here, in other words? Am I supposed to not pray full here? I'm supposed to pray qasr here? It's very detailed. So if you take notes, this will definitely make things easier for you moving forward. Brother Ali Hassan Dibaja is watching. How are you, Brother Ali? Long time no see. Okay, so let me start from here. We are going to start by reviewing what Sheikh Amin had discussed in his session 2 or 3 days ago. And once we're done with reviewing that, we're going to move on to some very serious questions about fasting while you are traveling. The first ruling that Sheikh Amin mentioned was ruling 1027 from Minhaj al-Salihin. And the ruling was saying this, that if someone does not know that they are not supposed to fast while they are traveling, if someone doesn't know that, and their ignorance can stem from multiple different reasons. Sometimes it can stem from the fact that this person had never even heard that you're not supposed to fast while traveling. It might stem from the fact that he knew the ruling, but he didn't know the details of the ruling. Sometimes it might even stem from the fact that he knew all the rulings. Like he might be a genius, he knows all the rulings, right? But with regards to his particular situation, like he didn't think that me traveling, going from this city to this city, would fall under the jurisprudential definition of traveling, right? He might have thought that the distance is so little that I'm not even considered a musafir. I'm not even considered a traveler from the Islamic and the jurisprudential perspective. According to Ayatollah Sistani, regardless of what that situation is, if someone is traveling like that and he doesn't know, then he is going to be fasting is going to be correct. وَإِنَ عَلِمَ فِي الْأَثْنَاءِ بَتَلْ. But if he finds out in the middle that, oh, I'm traveling, or when you're traveling, you're not allowed to fast, then obviously his fast is going to be batil from that point on moving forward. وَلَا يَسِحُّ الصَّوْمِ مِنَ الْمُسَافِرِ النَّاسِ عَنَ الْأَحْوَةِ الْلُزُومَانِ. However, if someone, according to obligatory precaution, if someone knows all the rulings and he knows where he's going, he's going to end up being a musafir. He's going to end up being someone who travels from a jurisprudential perspective, but he forgets about it, right? Which would be the case with usually most of us. Like, you forget, you're like, oh, I was traveling 40 miles going there, 40 miles coming back. Of course I was musafir. How did I forget about this? If that's the case, then you are going to become, basically your fast is going to be a batil according to obligatory precaution. So that's the first ruling that Sheikh Amin mentioned when he was discussing the topic. Moving on, this is just a review of what Sheikh Amin has discussed. And I'll mention this. The ones that Sheikh Amin got to discuss were easier. Trust me. When we go forward, you'll see the more difficult ones are the ones that will come in the future. And when I say the future, either like later on today's session or definitely next session. So you guys get to get a look at what the more difficult rulings are. The next ruling he mentioned was this, ruling 1028 from Minhaj al-Salihin. He said that if someone goes somewhere, even though technically like from amongst normal people, they would consider him a traveler, but if he is able to stay somewhere for 10 days, right? And he's able to do what we call qasd-e iqamat. Qasd-e iqamat just means that you make the intention, I am going to stay here for 10 days. Right, that person also can fast, and his namaz will also be full. He will also pray tamam. We know this during the month of Ramadan. Anyone who wants to travel, what they tell them is, "Hey, oh, you're gonna travel? Okay, so go there and stay there for 10 days." Even the speakers that they book, right? That's why they book them. Well, that may not be the only reason why they book them for 15 days, but one of the reasons they do that is because if the person is going to be there for 15 days. Then he will be able to fast, and his namaz will also be tamam. So we know that. Wal musafir safara ma'asiya, also someone who is traveling in order to commit a sin. This, of course, means that this person is traveling with this intention. That's the purpose of his travel. Not that he's traveling for to see family, and then if he goes there, and then he might do something wrong on the side. That person will have to pray qasr. That person will have to pray half the namaz as normal. No. Someone, I'll give you an example. I'm sure Sheikh Amin has explained this before. Someone has this in mind that, you know what, I'm going to go. I want to, the whole purpose of this trip is to go and take part in such and such wedding where we're going to listen to haram music and we're going to dance with non-mahram and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Okay, if you're traveling with this purpose and this is the main purpose of your trip, then that you're going to end up praying tamam and you will be able to fast. Not that you will be able, you have to fast, okay? Because you're not considered a traveler from the Islamic perspective. And then the ruling moved on to four different locations where you are able to choose if you want to pray qasr or tamam. وَلَا يَسِحُ forgive me. وَلَا يَسِحُ مِمَّنْ يَتَخَيَّرُ بَيْنَ الْقَسْرِ وَالْتَمَامِ. There are four locations. If you go to those four locations, in terms of your namaz, you are able to choose if you want to pray qasr, you want to pray half, or you want to pray tamam, you want to pray full, but you are not able to fast in those places, unless you stay there for 10 days, for example. And the four places was Mecca, Medina, Kufa, and the Haram of Imam Hussein. Now, in terms of how strictly we are going to define these, are we going to say Mecca, Medina, just around the Haram, or bigger and stuff? Those were details, and I'm pretty sure that Sheikh Amin discussed those yesterday. That's one of those issues that the Maraja have differences of opinion on with regards to those places. So if you go to those places, you just want to be on the safe side. If you're not going to be there for 10 days, then you just pray qasr. That way you can be sure that what you're doing is correct, because you know, if because you're traveling. And when you're traveling, normally you can do qasr. So anyways, that's ruling 1028. Moving on to the other rulings that Sheikh Amin covered. The next issue that he covered was traveling, just normal traveling, while someone is fasting. We said that if you are going to be traveling after Zawal, after Dhuhr namaz, Zawal basically means when they do Adhan Dhuhr, Dhuhr Adhan, we said that that is not going to break your fast. And in fact, you have to, according to obligatory precaution, you have to fast the rest of that day. And we also mentioned that if someone is going to enter into their city, they're traveling and they're going to enter into their city before Dhuhr, right? We also said that in that case, they will have to continue fasting if they have not broken their fast earlier in the morning when they were traveling. If before getting to their city, they did not, you know, have breakfast, for example, and you're allowed to do that. I'm sure that Sheikh Amin has touched on that as well. Yes, so that was another ruling that Sheikh Amin discussed. So again, if you're traveling after Dhuhr, it's not a problem. But if you're traveling before Dhuhr, it will create a problem for your fasting. On the other side, if you're arriving to the city that you live in, or arriving to the city where you will be staying for 10 days, if you arrive before Dhuhr, then that means you will have to fast that day, unless you've broken it earlier in the morning. 1039, ruling 1039 said this. He said that if you are going to travel, we say, oh, before Dhuhr and after travel, after Dhuhr, right? We said, in order to be able to figure out what is the time exactly and where exactly you have to be before Dhuhr or after Dhuhr, we are going to count the city itself. So if you leave the city itself before Dhuhr, then your fast is batil. If you leave the city itself after Dhuhr, then your fast is correct, even though you have not reached what we call Hadd Tarakhus, right? Hadd Tarakhus is where you're standing and you can no longer, or you can barely see the houses at the end of the city, or you can barely hear the Adhan of that city, which is not too far away, right? Because we're talking about Adhan, we're not talking about using mics or anything like that. Normal Adhan, if someone says a normal Adhan. So that's what another ruling that Sheikh Amin covered. Yes, oh, this is, of course, a very important one, that if you are a musafir and you are traveling, if you have not reached Hadd al-Tarakhus yet, you are not allowed to break your fast. And I've seen that's a ruling that a lot of people don't know. They wake up in the morning and say, oh, today we're going to travel, so I'm just going to have breakfast. You're not allowed to do that. You have to travel, and then you can start breaking your fast, right? Once you read Hadd al-Tarakhus, which I think Sheikh Amin has mentioned already, then you can break your fast. And the last ruling that Sheikh Amin mentioned, inshallah we will be covering, is that you are allowed during the month of Ramadan to travel, even if you are traveling with the purpose of, I don't want to fast on this day, right? يَجُوزُ السَّفَرْ فِي شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ اِخْتِيَارًا وَلَوْ لِلْفَرَارِ مِنَ الصَّامِ. I think everyone understands what the word farar means, right? If you speak Farsi or even Urdu, I think, or even in Arabic, it's one of those universal words. Farar means to escape from something, right? If you are traveling just with the intention of escaping from fasting or not having to fast that day, that is not a problem. It is not haram. وَلَكِنَّهُ مَكْرُوهٌ. But it is makruh. All right. So these are the rulings that Sheikh Amin covered in the previous session. I just wanted to cover these just so that we're clear on them. For those of you who have just joined now, there was a point that I mentioned, two points that I'm going to go over real quick. Number one, if you do send in your questions, please mention whether you follow Ayatollah Sistani or Ayatollah Khamenei. If we don't have that information, unfortunately, we will not be able to assist you. And the reason why is because the rulings are going to be dramatically different moving forward from this point onwards, right? There will be some points that are the same between both of these maraji', but we will need to know who exactly you follow. So I see here Brother Amir has sent us a question. Brother Amir had a good question the other day as well. Please let us know. Let me just click on this here. It doesn't say who they follow. I'll go through the question, but I'm pretty sure we're going to have to know who exactly they follow to be able to answer that question. So please do let us know, Brother Amir, if you're still with us. Please do let us know who this person follows, because apparently it's someone else's question. That was one point I mentioned. For those who just joined in the past 5 or 10 minutes, another point that I did mention, if you do grab a piece of paper, if you have this option to grab a piece of paper and take notes of what we are going to be saying in today's session and also in the session that we will have, my next session basically, it will make your life a lot easier, because these rulings are very detailed, as you will see. And if you're able to take notes, it will make your life a lot easier, because these rulings, the idea of traveling and fasting, it will not just affect you during the month of Ramadan, it will also affect you throughout the year when you are traveling, because it will affect the way you pray. It will affect whether you are going to be praying tamam or qasr, full or half prayer. So if you have a piece of paper, make sure you're taking notes. Trust me, you'll thank me when we're done with discussing these points. All right. So let me go through Brother Amir's question real quick. Salaamu alaikum, Shaykh. Wa alaikum as-salam. And wa alaikum as-salam to everyone else who said salam. I am asking this question on behalf of someone else. I will, inshallah, leave for work more than 10 days to a place with virtually no night, north of Russia. The night is less than an hour and is not really defined as night. What is the ruling in regards to fasting, and what do I do about Laylatul Qadr in this scenario? He also mentioned there is no possibility to go on a trip while there to make him a traveler. That's a very good question, and to be honest with you, I don't know the answer to that question. This is one of those issues that amongst our maraji', they have different opinions on with regards to people who go to a place who either their night is very, very short or they don't have a night at all, right? They have differences of opinion. So we need to know who this person follows. Do they follow Ayatollah Khamenei? Do they follow Ayatollah Sistani? Who are they following? Because from what I remember, they have differences of opinion regarding this issue. Like, some of them might say you have to go based on the closest places to you that have a normal night. Some of them might say no, you'll have to make up for it some other time. We need to know exactly who is asking that question, who they follow, to be able to answer that question. Okay. Let's see here. Okay, so let me move on to the things that we want to discuss ourselves, the topic that I've prepared. For fasting. The first thing that I want to cover, inshallah, is this. Some people had asked this question before, and it's a good question, and it's the most fundamental question that we have with regards to traveling and fasting. It's a basic question. How long do I have to travel? What is the distance that I'm required to travel in order to be considered a musafir, a traveler, from the jurisprudential perspective, right? The answer to this question is that when you look in the ahadith and the literature that we have from the imams, they have spoken of 8 farsakhs. 8 farsakh. Now, that's a unit of measurement that they used to use back in the day. How does that translate to what we have today? Because it's a unit that they used to use back in the day, there is a slight difference of opinion in terms of how our marajah have translated that into the units of measurement that we have today. So, for example, Ayatollah Khamenei says that is going to equal 45 kilometers, which, based on the Googling that I did, is going to equal 27.9 miles. Okay, so let's just say 28 miles, just so for the ease of it, right? So that's Ayatollah Khamenei's ruling on the issue. Ayatollah Sistani, on the other hand, he says very similar, a small difference, just 44 kilometers. So that would translate to like something like 27 and a half miles, right? So basically around that area. Now, if you just want to be on the safe side, if you're going to travel with 27 miles, then please just go for a couple extra miles just to make your life easier. So you don't have to deal with the whole idea of, did I travel for enough? Did I not travel enough? Just go for a little bit more. And then hopefully you'll be able to travel the amount that we have given. So 28 miles. Now we're just going to go with that. That's Ayatollah Khamenei's ruling on the issue. Just because it's a round number, we're just going to stick to that. Okay, just so we know from now on. So what we're going to be dealing with from now on is 45 kilometers, 28 miles. If you are taking notes, make sure to make this note that I'm going to mention right now. Brothers and sisters, I know a lot of people who don't know this. When we say that you have to travel at least 28 miles for you to be considered a traveler from a Islamic perspective, that is when you are including outbound and inbound travel. In other words, if you add up the distance you travel while you are going somewhere and you add up the distance you are going to travel while coming back, if the addition of both of these together hits 45 kilometers, in other words, 28 miles, then you are going to be considered a traveler. Okay, a lot of times, because when we speak amongst ourselves, we say, okay, how much did you travel? Or we say, like, how far away is it? We say, oh, it's like 13 miles away, 15 miles away. Okay, so someone says, oh, Sheikh, I travel for 15 miles. Am I supposed to break fast? Am I supposed to break my fast or not? Well, that depends. If you're saying you travel for 15 miles, does that mean that going and coming back is 15 miles or no? All you know, you go for 15 miles and you come back for 15 miles. That means you're traveling for 30 miles. Depending on which one of those you mean, then it's going to be, the ruling is going to be different. Of course, in today's world, where especially if you live in the United States, probably not so much in Europe, but in the United States, usually if you're going to go to, you're going to leave your city, usually you're going to be traveling more than that. If you add going and coming back at the same time, you're going to end up traveling that much at the end of the day, usually 99% of the time. You're not going to, like, if you're living in Dallas, you're going to travel to Houston, you're not going to be like, oh, I have to add up going and coming. No, if you just go to Houston, that'll be more than enough for you for you to break your fast. But my point is, when we speak about 45 kilometers, or in other words, 28 miles, as we mentioned, we are talking about adding going and coming back at the same time. If you do this, then you are going to be considered a traveler from the Islamic perspective. That means you are going to break your fast. All right, let me just check to see if you guys have any questions. Please send in your questions, because, like I said, this topic is a topic that it will work even more, even better, if we have more and more questions coming in. So you guys don't hold back on the questions that you guys have with regards to this issue. If it's a question that comes to your mind, please feel free to let us know. Okay, so no questions as of now. I will take a look again in a couple of minutes. Oh, okay. So we have two questions very quickly. That was a quick response. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Mahdi, for your question. Yes. Oh, wow. Four questions. That's pretty quick. Very good, guys. Let me take a look at the first one real quick. If you go 15 miles outside of the city limits, do you have to wait until 1 mile away from returning to break your fast? Let me read that again. If you go 15 miles outside of city limits, do you have to wait until 1 mile away from returning? 1 mile away from returning to break your fast. I'm not sure exactly what Brother Mahdi is asking here, Brother Mahdi Bazzi. If what you are asking is when can you break your fast, if you are traveling 15 miles outwards with, 15 miles out and 14 miles in. Okay, so Brother Mahdi, if you're traveling 15 miles out of the city and then 14 miles back, then you are going to be considered someone who has broken his fast, okay? Now, if you do this, you can break your fast the moment you leave the hadd tarakhus of your city, okay? So, the border of the city is one thing. The hadd tarakhus of the city is a different thing. The border of the city is where you have the last houses and of the city. And then the hadd tarakhus of the city is where you can see those houses if you stood and you looked back, which in other words might be like a couple miles away, okay? If you pass, in other words, I'll give you an example, Brother Mahdi. If you travel for like 5 miles outside of the city, 6 miles, 7 miles out of the city, you can start breaking your fast. I hope that answers your question, because I hope I understood your question correctly. Okay. According to Ayatollah Sistani, is that 28 miles round trip from your home, or is that 28 miles from the end of the metropolitan area? That's a very good question. We're going to get to that in just a second. We say 28 miles. Going and coming back, if you add it up and it amounts to 28 miles, you will be able to break your fast. Not you will be able to, you will have to break your fast. Where are we starting that distance from? I see the same question has come up again with Brother Akbar. Sheikh, is the distance from the city boundaries or your house? That's the same question. Did he say from where the measurement starts? No, we didn't. That's what I'm about to say right now. Okay, so let me move on to the answer to this question. This will answer a lot of questions here. Where do you start calculating the distance from? Do you calculate it from where your house is, which is what Google Maps will do for you? If you guys are a fan of Google Maps, I don't think you would use any other map other than Google Maps. If you're using Apple Maps, then I'm sorry for you. you should probably switch to Google Maps for multiple reasons. But anyways, Google Maps will give you the distance from where? From your house all the way to the destination that you go. Where are we supposed to start counting the distance from? Answer to this question. According to Ayatollah Sistani, there is one ruling. According to Ayatollah Khamenei, there's a different ruling. So their answers are going to be slightly different. Okay. Now, Ayatollah Khamenei says this. The starting point when you are going to calculate this 28 miles, right, is going to be the border of the city. In other words, the last houses of the city. Now, I know that's a little vague in terms of which house is the exact last house of the city, but you can at least come up with an approximation of where you reach a point where you say, yeah, we're not part of the city anymore. We've passed the houses of the city, or we've passed the border of the city. Yes, there's no line. You're not going to find the line anywhere where they say, okay, from here onwards is not part of the city, or it is part of the city, or anything like that. No. But this is a very much a urfi type of thing, meaning that you have to see what people consider the last houses of the city. Once you leave that point, you are going to start counting the distance that you are traveling. This is Ayatollah Khamenei's ruling, okay. Now, in this ruling, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, it does not matter at all. And let me read off of the book, because I know a lot of people have this question, and a lot of people have heard for some reason or another that the ruling is going to be different if there's a big city or not a big city. Okay? Where for Ayatollah Khamenei, it does not matter. For those of you who are taking notes, please write this down. Okay? For Ayatollah Khamenei, It does not matter if you are dealing with a big city or a small city. At the end of the day, you are going to start counting the distance from where? From the border of the city, from the end of the city. Okay, that's Ayatollah Khamenei's ruling on this issue. Let me see if I can just find his ruling, because I know a lot of people ask this question. From what I remember, I think, don't take this as a definitive thing, but from what I remember, Imam Khomeini used to set a difference between these two, and that's why I think a lot of people think that Ayatollah Khamenei does the same thing, but Ayatollah Khamenei does not set a difference between the two. For those of you who have this book or are familiar with this book, this is Risale Amzashi of Ayatollah Khamenei, page 213, number 7, Bilad Kabire. I will be reading in Farsi because the book is in Farsi. در احکام مسافر و قصد تبتون و قصد اقامت ده روز فرقی میان بلاد کبیره و معمولی نیست. Okay, so there's no difference in terms of the rulings with regards to a big city or a small city. This was Ayatollah Khamenei's ruling. What is Ayatollah Sistani's ruling? Ayatollah Sistani says this. He says, listen, if you are dealing with a really big city, then you will start counting the distance from the place where you will people will consider you a traveler. So that would be something like around your neighborhood, basically. Because once you head out of your neighborhood and you say, you know what, I'm going to travel to Houston. Let's say you live in Dallas, right? Dallas is probably, you could confidently say, the DFW area. You probably say that's one big city that's just really big. Like, I mean, it's really big. When I go to Dallas, it's just like huge. If you're heading out to Houston, you will have, if you follow Ayatollah Sistani, because Dallas is a really big city, the DFW area, I should say, is a really big city, you would have to start counting your 28 miles from where? From when you leave your neighborhood, because that's when people start considering you a traveler. Okay, so for Ayatollah Sistani, and I'm going to read off of his ruling from the book, you will, if you are dealing with a really big city, you will start counting the distance from where people consider you a traveler, which would be something around your neighborhood. Not your house, because if you're 5 minutes away from your house, people don't consider you a traveler. But if you are 15 minutes away from your house out of your neighborhood, then you would, people would say, oh yeah, he started his traveling, right? Okay, so that's if you're dealing with a really big city. If you're not dealing with a really big city, and I'm saying a really big city because the ruling actually says a really big city. It doesn't say just a big city. It says a really big city, okay? So if you're dealing with just a big city, I'll give you an example. For example, San Antonio. San Antonio is not the type of city, it's definitely not as big as, you know, Dallas, for example, or even as Houston, right? So with San Antonio, no. You would start counting, according to Ayatollah Sistani, you would start counting your distance from the border of the city. So hopefully that's clear. To wrap this up before I take a look at the comments real quick. If you follow Ayatollah Sistani, if you are dealing with a really big city, you will count it from basically somewhere around the end of your neighborhood. If you're dealing with a smaller city, you will start counting the distance from the end of the city, or what we call the border of the city, the last houses of the city, wherever they are. That's where you start counting your distance from. That's Ayatollah Sistani. For Ayatollah Khamenei, regardless, you will start counting from the end of the city, the border of the city. That's where you start counting the distance from. Let me read this off of Ayatollah Sistani's book, and then I will take a look at the comments real quick. So this is ruling 891. For those of you who are following us with the book, you will notice that the rulings that we were reading were 1,000, 1,200, 1,000, 1,030, these were the rulings, but a lot of these rulings are discussed in somewhere else altogether with Minhaj al-Salihin. So I'm going to jump to ruling 891 real quick, and then I will take a look at your guys' comments. All right, Mas'ala 891, page 270, volume 1 from Minhaj al-Salihin. تحتسب المسافة من الموضع الذي يعد الشخص بعد تجاوزه مسافرا عرفا. He says that the distance that you are going to count for your 28 miles that you have to fulfill, you will start counting that distance from the place where you are. Normally, people would consider you a traveler from that point onwards. And then he explains, وَهُوَ آخَرُ الْبَلَدْ غَالِبًا. He says, usually that's going to be the border of the city. Okay, so what's the other situation he's talking about, he says usually it's there. So what about those other situations? وَرُبَّمَا يَكُونَ آخَرُ الْحَيِّ أَوِ الْمَحَلَّ فِي بَعْضِ الْبِلَادِ الْكَبِيرَةِ جِدًّا. So it says sometimes if you're dealing with a really big city, جِدًّا, جِدًّا in Arabic doesn't mean being serious, right? I've made that mistake when I was learning Arabic earlier on. جِدًّا means really. So if you're dealing with a really big city, then آخر الحي, حي means your neighborhood. The end of your neighborhood is going to be where you're going to start counting your distance. Okay, so this is where you're going to be starting. Now, again, I know this is slightly vague. I know there's no like exact place where you can start counting your distance, but this should give us a much better understanding of whether we're going to be we're going to be able to fulfill those 28 miles or not. There is a point that I do want to mention about a situation where someone has a doubt, right? They know all these rulings, they know where to start counting from, but still they have a doubt. Is this place this far away from where I am or not? Is it going to fulfill the 28 miles of driving for me or not? When you have a doubt about that, because at the end of the day, you might, like, for example, let's say you travel to somewhere, it's like 27.9 miles. You're not sure. Does this fall under that? Am I supposed to pray qasr or am I supposed to pray full here? Situations where you're not sure if you've fulfilled that distance that we were talking about, I will cover that in just a second, because that's also a very important issue dealing with. Okay, so let me take a quick look at the comments. Brother Asad says, so you don't have to wait till 28 miles is complete before you break your fast? No. Once you pass Hadd al-Tarakhus, again, I'm explaining Hadd al-Tarakhus because I think someone asked this question. Hadd al-Tarakhus is when you stand somewhere so far away that you can no longer hear the adhan of that city, or you can see the buildings at the border of the city. Okay? So naturally, if you're traveling like 6 miles out of the city, you won't be able to hear the adhan anymore. You won't be able to see the buildings of the city, the buildings that are at the border of the city anymore, right? So naturally, but I'm mentioning the principle, right? So you guys can take this and apply this in your own situation. Hadd al-Tarakhus means you go somewhere where you can no longer hear the adhan and you can no longer see the buildings at the border of the city anymore. That's what Hadd al-Tarakhus is, which is a little bit outer than the border of the city, right? I hope that's clear. So you guys might want to take a note of that. All right. Sheikh Amin had already responded to that. I didn't see that. Brother Asad is asking his question in a different way. I'll ask my question another way. I made intention to travel. I passed the Hadd al-Tarakhus and I opened my fast. I realized I forgot something and had to turn around to go home. Okay. I'm still not sure what Brother Asad is referring to. So if you turned around and you went home, does that mean you left again after going home? I think that's what you're saying. If you broke your fast for that day already, brother, you broke your fast for that day. So that's it. It's done. I hope I answered your question. Brother Asad, if we did not answer your question and I still didn't understand your question, you can always message Mizan Institute directly and then hopefully we'll answer your question that way, just to make sure we have the correct understanding of your question. But if your question was you broke your fast after you had passed Hadd al-Tarakhus, that's it, you broke your fast for that day. And even if you go back or whatever you do, you will not be able to fast for that day because you have done a muftir, basically. All right. DFW is the largest inland metroplex in the entire country. That I think the brother is actually, I'm not sure if this is a brother or sister, so forgive me if I get that wrong. But so I hear, yes. And Sister Safinas is asking, so according to Ayatollah Sistani, Hadd al-Tarakhus changes with the size of the city. No, sister. Hadd al-Tarakhus does not change with the size of the city. Hadd al-Tarakhus means the place where you are standing and you can no longer see the houses at the border of the city. Okay, that's what hadd al-tarakhus is. What we are discussing is, where do you start calculating the 28 miles from? You do not start calculating the 28 miles from the hadd al-tarakhus. Hadd al-tarakhus is a different thing. Put that aside for a second. What we were saying was that depending on how big or small your city is, you will, according to Atlas Sistani, you will start calculating the distance either from your neighborhood or from the border of the city. So it goes like this, just to make this clear. Your neighborhood, and then the border of the city, where the last houses of the city are, and then after that, hadd al-tarakhus. It goes like that. We're saying you have to calculate the distance to that place that you're going to from your neighborhood all the way, if it's a big city, from the neighborhood. If it's a small city, from the end of the city. End of the city is different from hadd al-tarakhus. I hope that's clear, inshallah. So yes, if it's a really big city, you start from the neighborhood. I mentioned that already. Okay, so the common view, by my opinion, would be that you're not considered travel until you leave the DFW Metroplex. But since this is a massive area, I would start calculating from end of neighborhood. Yes, if you ask me, brother, I hope I can pronounce the name correctly. Oskuri, if I'm not mistaken. You'll forgive me if I mispronounce that. If you're traveling in DFW, if you ask me, people do naturally consider you a traveler once you leave. Like if I leave Irving, or if I leave Carrollton, or if I leave Frisco, and I say, okay, I'm going to go to Fort Worth, I think people will say, oh, he's traveling, you know? So that's the answer to that question. Brother Mahdi is saying, you said 20 miles, 28 miles going and coming. So does that mean once you hit 14 miles going, you can break your fast? Since, oh, that was Askari. I'm sorry, I mispronounced the word. Brother Askari Hussein. I apologize for that. Since that would mean 28 going and coming. Yes, Brother Mahdi, I've mentioned this, I think, a couple times up until now, that you can break your fast at the hadd al-tarakhus. What is hadd al-tarakhus? It may not be 14 miles out of the city. It might be 5 or 6 miles out of the city. It is where you stand, and you can no longer hear the adhan or see the buildings of the city anymore. That's hadd al-tarakhus. You can break your fast at that point. Okay? So hopefully we're clear on that, Brother Mahdi Bazi. I hope the answer I gave is, inshallah, clear, and that took care of things for you. Yes, if I had an emoji right now, that would be the emoji I would be using for that horrible mispronunciation that I made. But that's also Brother Askeri's fault as well, because he is a very difficult thing to figure out. If Askeri, there's no way on earth they would spell that as Askeri. Brother Akbar is saying, here in Dallas, you see signs, city limit. But right after that, another city starts, like Carrollton, Louisville. So where would be hadd al-tarakhus? Again, Brother Akbar, all of this is urfi. It depends on the common view. When the common view considers you having ended the city, they say, okay, here the city has ended altogether. Right? That's where they say, okay, that's the end of the city. That's the border of the city. If you go a little bit further where you can't hear the adhan or see those buildings anymore, that's where hadd al-tarakhus would be. If you are traveling within Dallas, I think I mis-explained this. If you are traveling within Dallas, because it's seen as one big city, then that's, you're not really going to be considered traveling at all. Right, because it's in one big city. I think before I was explaining something else and I mis-explained this, okay? So if you are in a really big city and you're just traveling inside of the city, you're not even going to head out of the city at all. If you're traveling inside, people do not even consider you, like, not forget about people, from an Islamic perspective, because if it's one city, you are not going to be considered a traveler. However, Brother Akbar, if you are traveling outside of the city, right? If you are traveling outside of the city and you want to see where you start counting the distance from, according to Ayatollah Sistani, you would start from your neighborhood. So I think Hopefully I explained that so that that's not a misunderstanding there. All right. So much for the yes. Sister Safina's, what if the going distance is 12 miles and coming back the distance is 16 miles? Very good question. I was going to go through that question, but I wasn't sure if I should cover that. The question is this, does it matter when we say go 28 miles altogether? Does it matter if you, let's say someone goes for 2 miles and then coming back he travels for like, let's say 26 miles? Does that matter or not? The answer is there is a slight difference of opinion here. Let me pull up the ruling. Yes. According to Ayatollah Khamenei, your outbound, so your first trip, has to be at least 14 miles. Okay. So at least you have to go 14 miles in your when you're heading out. When you're coming back, obviously, again, it would have to be at least 14 miles because you've only gone 14 miles, right? So in other words, let's say for Ayatollah Khamenei, he says, hey, if you're going to go outbound, you have to go for 14 miles. If you come back, if you go for 20 miles going, coming back doesn't have to be at least 14 miles. You can just fill up the rest of that gap that you have until you hit 28 miles, right? So if you went out 20 miles, you can come back with, how many miles would that be? That'll be 8 miles coming back, right? Ayatollah Sistani, however, does not have this condition. So he says, doesn't matter how many miles you went and how many miles you came back. As long as the total hits 28 miles, you are going to be considered a musafir. Let me just read that real quick. Mas'ala 890, Sister Safina, this is for your question. إذا كان الذهاب خمسة فراسخ والإياب ثلاثة قصرة وكذا في جميع صور التلفيق إذا كان الذهاب والإياب بمجموعها ثمانية فراسخ. Does not matter how you make the 28 miles gather, add them up. If you go for 2 miles and then on the way back you travel for like 26 miles or whatever the case may be, you're still going to break your fast. All right. Oh, wow. Today we had a lot of questions and the time is flying by. Okay. Sister Sana is asking, does it matter what time we leave? So if we leave before or after Dhuhr, we still break our fast. No, Sister Sana, we covered this. Sheikh Amin covered this a couple days ago and we also reviewed it today. If you are going to travel before Dhuhr, that is going to break your fast. So you're only allowed to travel after Dhuhr. So that answers that question. Brother Amir is asking, what if a person travels a lot for work? Can he go to family's home directly after work, which is not in the tarakhus limit of his city? Or should he go back home after work, after Dhuhr, then go to family's home, which is not in the tarakhus limit, in order to keep his fast? Brother Amir, if you follow Ayatollah Khamenei, allow me, Brother Amir, to just double check that. I will answer this question for you. We might even have to send you a message through the Institute's Facebook page to get back to you on that. And the reason for that is because the rulings that have to do with traveling for work, we will discuss them for sure. Inshallah, we didn't get a chance to discuss them today. We will definitely get into that next session, inshallah. But I just want to read through your question to make sure I'm understanding it correctly so that I give you the answer to that question. I know you've asked this question before. I am aware of that. And I know that you need the answer to your question. We will get the answer to your question, inshallah. I will definitely look into it today and get the answer to you, inshallah, Brother Amir Rahimi. But I don't want to rush through it right now because I want to make sure I give you the right answer, inshallah. Okay, last ruling that I want to mention before we end, inshallah, is this. If someone is not sure that the distance that they traveled has hit the 28 miles requirement yet or not, what are they supposed to do in this situation? The answer to this question, brothers and sisters, is that this person will continue to pray full. In other words, as long as you are not sure you have become a traveler, you will act as if you are not. So you will continue praying full until you say, oh, you know what? I am traveling for 28 miles going and coming back. Then you will start praying qasr or half from that point onwards. Okay, so that's with regards to doubts, because doubts you can have a lot of times, right? There's a lot of times where you might not be absolutely sure where the city ends, or you might not be absolutely sure about the details of what we mentioned, right? You should learn the rulings. I'm talking about figuring out where those rulings will play out in the city that you're in. And therefore, you would have some doubts sometimes. So if you have a doubt, you can continue praying qasr. In other words, forgive me, you will continue praying full and you will have to fast. Okay. So that's that. Let me see if there's any more questions that I have to... Not questions, rulings that I wanted to cover for today. Yes. Oh, let me mention just one or two more questions. First question is, when we are counting the distance between two places, are you supposed to, when I was younger, I had this question all the time. Are you supposed to count the distance from one point to another point with a straight line? Or are you supposed to count the distance with the route that you're taking? Obviously, the route that you're taking has a bunch of turns and ups and downs and stuff like that, right? Which one of these are you supposed to take into consideration? The answer is the route that you take, right? Not the point-to-point place that you are going to basically calculate. Although most people, they put it into Google Maps or whatever the case may be. The GPS, it tells you how much you're going to be driving, right? It doesn't tell you how much it's point-to-point. So normally we're dealing with that anyways. Another ruling that comes up here is, what if there are multiple routes to the same city? There are times where you can take multiple routes to the same city. You can take, even, I'll say this from personal experience, if I'm traveling to Dallas, you can take 35 that just runs through all the San Antonio and Austin all the way to Dallas. Or you can take toll roads, for example, that go off of 35. But they're a little bit, it'll take a little bit longer to get there. Of course, less traffic, but a little bit long. Which one are you supposed to calculate? You are supposed to take the route, calculate the route that you took. Okay, so that's the answer to that question. Whatever route you took, you will have to take that, calculate that basically, and count that. All right. Question we have here from Brother Asad is saying, I was distracted. No problem, Brother Asad. Not a problem. Brother Ali is asking, if a person's job requires them to fly 30 miles above the city, even though they are still in the city, would they be considered as outside the city? I have no idea, Brother Ali. I don't know the answer to that question. If you fly, I'd never even thought about that question before. And I'm kind of wondering how you were able to think about that either. I don't know the answer to that question. So I'll have to check, inshallah, and get back to you guys with regards to that. Let me go through one more ruling here. These are small rulings, but each one of them will have an effect on these issues that we're going to be discussing. That is this. Brothers and sisters, when we say you have to travel for 28 miles, you have to have the intention of traveling for 28 miles. What does that mean? That means if I made the intention, I'm going to travel for 4 miles. And then when I get to 4 miles, I say, you know what? I'm going to travel for another 4 miles. And then when I get there, I say, you know what? I'm going to travel for another 4 miles. If you do it like that, then your namaz is not necessarily going to be qasr. All right? If at any point you say, you know what? From this point on, I am going to travel for 28 miles, then your namaz is going to be qasr. Okay, so just so we're clear on that. All right, I have discussed everything that we wanted to discuss outside of being a frequent traveler. Next session, brothers and sisters, I know you guys have a lot of questions with regards to this issue. We will be discussing a frequent traveler. And if you're not a frequent traveler right now, make sure you tune in. Because I'll tell you this for multiple reasons. Number one, because these rulings that we're going to be explaining, to be honest with you, you're not going to see them explained in this format, in this way, anywhere else. You're really going to need these rulings because you may not be a frequent traveler right now. You might be a frequent traveler 6 months from now, a year from now. So make sure you tune in. And that discussion, brothers and sisters, I'm saying this from right now. You will need a pen and a paper, or a pencil and a paper, for that discussion. If you don't write what we're going to be discussing in next session, you will definitely get confused. And if you think you didn't get confused, trust me, you did. You just think that you know the rulings because they're very detailed. So I don't want to spook you guys too much. I don't want to scare you guys too much. But the point I'm trying to make is that they're very complicated, very detailed. So we will. What will we be discussing? Number one, if someone has to work, travel a lot for work, what is the ruling there? What if someone has to travel a lot for school? What do they have to do there? If someone has to do these, but now they go on a trip that is non-work related, what are they supposed to do there? What if I'm the type of person that travels a lot, but only in a certain period of the year? Let's say I travel a lot for 3 months only, or I travel a lot for 6 months only. What about the other times of the year? These are all questions that we will be discussing, inshallah, next session. And we will do Ayatollah Sistani's rulings first, and then Ayatollah Khamenei's rulings second. All right. Brother Hassan Kanani is asking, Salam Shaykh, wa alaykum as-salam. If I was within city limits at time of Dhuhr, but I am outside of city limits when I pray, would I pray full or qasr? Very good question. Actually, now that you ask this, let me mention a point here that I'll probably have to repeat in the next session as well. But let me just mention it here. So the answer to your question is, you are going to pray based on wherever you are. If you were outside of the city limits, and by outside of city limits, we are talking about being outside of Hadd al-Tarakhus 2. Okay? If you are outside of Hadd al-Tarakhus 2, then you will pray Qasr. Okay, I hope that's clear, Brother Hassan. We mentioned this multiple times. There's a difference between where the city ends and where the Hadd al-Tarakhus is. City ends where the last houses of the city are, last buildings of the city are. Hadd al-Tarakhus is where you can stand and you can no longer see those same houses and those same buildings. If you pass the Hadd al-Tarakhus, then you will have to pray Qasr. I hope you had passed Hadd al-Tarakhus. Okay. So yes, hopefully that answers your question. And don't pray between the end of the city and Hadd al-Tarakhus, because some of the marajas say you actually have to do both. You have to do qasr and tamam sometimes. So just to be on the safe side, if you're gonna pray, either pray outside of Hadd al-Tarakhus all the way, or pray inside of the city completely. Okay, just so we're clear on that. Okay, you're welcome, Brother Hassan. Dr. Akbar is asking, Ali, it does not matter as it will not still be, you can see a city from up there. That's actually a good point. But again, we'll have to ask. I have no idea what the answer to that question is. Okay, let me see if we had anything else that we had to cover here. There's one more point that this question brought up that I wanted to cover. Oh, yes. If I am, brothers and sisters, if I am traveling and I am fasting, breaking your fast and opening your fast, this is especially not for people who drive in cars. It usually doesn't have to do with them. If you are traveling by plane, the question that comes up is, if I am traveling, am I supposed to break my fast based on where I am, or based on the city where I was? I'll give you an example. Let's say you are, I actually wrote down this example just to make sure I get it right. Let's say you are leaving LA. When you're leaving LA, it might be like 3 p.m. You're leaving LA. When is namaz time? For the sake of the example, 8. I'm sorry. You're leaving 3 p.m. Okay, you're leaving after Dhuhr. Okay, when is namaz time? When is Maghrib time? 8 p.m. Let's say. Right? So you leave LA at 3 p.m. You're leaving after Dhuhr. It's not going to create a problem for your fast. You have to fast the rest of the day. Okay. So I'm going to leave LA. When I'm leaving LA, obviously I'm moving in the opposite direction of the sun. And so the time of iftar is going to hit me in the plane. In other words, the sun is going to go down in the plane where I am at around, let's say, 6 p.m. LA time. But the time of iftar in LA is what? It's 8 p.m. because namaz is at 8 p.m. Which time am I supposed to break my fast based on? The answer is where you are at that given moment. It's the same thing for namaz as well. When do you pray? Based on where you are at that given moment. So Yes, Brother Asked, you assumed correctly. You are going to break your fast where you are. So what that means is that if I'm traveling from LA to DC, my fast will naturally become a little bit shorter. That means if I'm traveling from DC to LA, that means that my fast will naturally become longer, right? So that was the answer to that question. And I believe that's it for today. Let me just take a look, make sure. Okay, so there's a question that Sister Fatima asked, but I believe Sheikh Amin was able to help out with that. It definitely helps to have Sheikh Amin when there are too many questions and to just be able to help out with some of the answers here and there. Okay. So basically, don't fly west for 10 days unless you want to ask for a really long time. Yes, that's exactly what we were trying to say. Don't fly west. You fly west, you'll probably have to fast for more than, I don't know how long we fast right now, but you have to fast for a longer time. Okay, next session, frequent travelers, very detailed content. Please have a pen and paper to take notes with regards to that discussion. With that, inshallah, I will end. Brother Amir Rahimi, your question, I have not forgotten about that. We will get back to you with regards to the answer to that question. Keep us in your prayers, inshallah, and take care. Wa alaikum assalam until our next session.